T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Trollo and Dibs. Turn the game on, pump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Trollo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Wednesday. They call it Hump Week. Forget that. Hump Day. Hump Week. Whatever. Welcome to the show. Let's go. Trollo and Dibs. 95.7 The Game. Your guests. I know him as a winemaker. You know him as a quarterback. Drew Bledsoe, 2 hours from now. Steve Mariucci, former head coach of the San Francisco 49ers at 8:30. And old friend John Morosi at 9:30, live from the winter meetings. I don't actually know that he's down there. I'm assuming.
Yes, he's there because the hot stove, Joe, has heated up. This thing now is actually churning out some news and some nuggets.
You know what? First mediocre take of the day. Kudos to baseball for getting some of this news out early in the process. Let's not wait 5 months to where it's no longer interesting. Let's get right to it. And with that in mind, breaking news at the moment.
95.7 The Game breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Quip. Go to Quip.com/2019 and get your first refill pack for free.
My pen ran out of ink trying to put all these numbers on this piece of paper. Gerrit Cole to the New York Yankees. The biggest of all the dominoes has fallen. 9 years, $324 million. That will be a price tag of $36 million per year for the Houston Astros ace, who finished second in the Cy Young voting last season. Career highs across the board with the Astros last year, 20-5, ERA of 2.50, 326 strikeouts, ERA plus of 185, FIP, fielding, independent pitching, don't worry about it, we're not getting into it, 2.64, all career highs. He's 29 years old. He will enter year 9 of this deal at 37 years of age. I barely talked to Lowe this morning. Barely. We were just two cruise ships passing in the night. He was heading home from the Bahamas. I was beginning my journey. We were starting in the Dominican Republic. But the only thing you said when you looked at me was, man, these baseball contracts.
My goodness. Looking at this contract, it's like, wow. I mean, I missed this. I was like, I wasn't a professional athlete. People, oh, you played professional. No, you didn't. I mean, I played a game. The money that they're giving now in the sports world, I'm like, man, I wish mom and dad was a little bit younger. I wish they would have had me a little bit later. I mean,
you wish you were a little bit taller.
You were a baller.
Yeah, I would have a rabbit in the, and I would call her. But man, I'm telling you, that's just amazing when you look at this money that they're giving out. And these guys isn't earning it. Well, I guess that's what the market bears. And I'm for it. I'm not hating. I'm just like, my God, you're talking about $324 million.
Every fifth day, too, Coach. It's not like he's Steph Curry making $45 million a year. I know he's not playing this year. Maybe it's a bad example. But, Coach, every fifth day, you don't even have to play every day.
Coach, he's making $1.9 million every single start. He's getting friggin' $170,000 a pitch. I mean, you look at
you look at these look numbers, at you. What do you think you're doing?
He throws
like,
the ball to first routine. Base and he gets like 80 grand.
What am I going to do? Start messing up names?
Yeah. Hey, you know what?
Look at you. Were you just sitting there calculating this stuff all morning? Is that what you're doing in that dark corner?
$1.09 million per start.
Right.
Over $169,000 per inning, per pitch. Over 110 per K per strikeout.
Yeah. Yeah.
$9,200 per pitch. Cut my legs off and call me stubby.
$9,000 per pitch is what you came
per
up
pitch.
With there.
$9,200 per pitch.
It's a 3-0 count, and it's just to get it over strike, $9,000. Pay me. Intentional walk, Lowe. You don't even have to throw four pitches.
Pay me.
Yeah, you better count those as four, though. I want the 36K.
Pay me.
Thought you guys they are not handing out contracts anymore in baseball. They're handing out empires. That's what that was. They handed him an empire. They didn't hand him a contract because that's fully guaranteed. That is $324 million that is now Gerrit Cole's. Now, I looked at this from the good side and the bad side. I'm going to start with the bad side because that's my initial take, and that's the take I'm sticking with. This is a ridiculous deal. This is a ridiculously stupid deal. You are paying top dollar at the top of the market for production that will never, ever be replicated. That's the thing. You're taking frontline pitching. Gerrit Cole at his absolute best, Cy Young worthy, should have gotten the award over Verlander. He cannot pitch better than that. He put the best of the best out there, and you are paying him for that. You are not going to get that for nine consecutive years. You don't buy at the top of the market. You're involved in the real estate game. How well would you be doing if every time the market was at its absolute peak, that's when you were buying?
It wouldn't be smart.
It probably wouldn't work out well for you.
It wouldn't be wise, but it's like this is a deal that just tells you what they're making. And sometimes you overpay because you can. You overpay, you say, I want that house. You get in a bidding war with a guy, and he comes in, and you tell him, don't come in this, and he just wants you on the show, hey, who's got the biggest ones? You're like, you know what? I'll drive this up. I stood on the auction in Fresno, and bidding on the house, and a dude's just there trying to do that. I said, okay, let's go. And I know I got a number, but I'm driving it, see a house for $50,000, and I'm like, look, I can go up to $100,000. And I'll just go up to $120,000 just to drive his butt, because I'm like, okay, you want it that bad, take it, because he had no business doing it. So you see guys.
Does he end up with the house? You drive it up so that he overpays on the house?
Yeah, and then guess what? Another house comes up, and you look at the list, what's going to be on the slot that day, because every Tuesday, every couple of days, they have those trust deed sales. You just stand out in the courtyard, have your cashier's checks with you, go right there and close. And you just said, okay, let's see how big you are. Because you go and you know who the players are, Hovenation. You know who.
It's like Storage Wars.
This is great.
Goes down there doing his own version of Storage Wars.
You find out who the players are. The guy comes, okay, he might add that one. You're like, all right, shoe fly. You're done now. But the Yankees
shows up with that hunting knife on his hip, just so everyone knows how far you want to go.
Comes out there in a singlet and headgear, you know? Seriously.
We're down here moving real estate today, boys.
but that's just going to show you. The Yankees just tell you what kind of money do they make. Here's an organization that says, you know what? There's no amount of money that we can't pay if this is really what we want. They got plenty of bats. Pitching's been kind of up and down. They got an unbelievable rotation now. You think about where the Yankees at. They jumped in to show it. And Steven's talking about Brandon's wife or his sister all day long. She can tell Brandon, I'm worth more than you. Really? Yeah, I can divorce this sucker and I get more money than you. I have more money than you right now. This is unbelievable. Millions and millions of dollars. I don't know what to do. I'm speechless.
Nice guy. If you'd like to come in here to clarify part of that, because I just.
That's all he was talking about. Oh, Christmas. Oh, Christmas. What turkey I'm going to have? Everybody's got to get something.
That's your nice guy, Steven?
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good.
Find me another Christmas dinner table where two guys have full no-trade clauses in their contracts and are making upwards of $20 million, $36 million for Gerrit Cole. That's crazy.
Well, the key details for this, for those who don't know.
And then Gerrit Cole is Brandon Crawford's brother-in-law.
There you go.
Yeah. So Brandon Crawford.
Nicely done. I don't know. I mean, the Manning family sits around probably.
Yeah, the Curry family probably doing all right with Aisha, even though International Smoke is closing in Houston. I'm sure she's still pulling some good dough out of me.
The way I see it.
Last time the Yankees did this, by the way, Lowe, was CeCe Sabathia. They gave him a record deal, 7-year, $161 million, 11 years ago.
That's
so
peanuts.
In 11 years, that's what I'm saying. In 11 years, the biggest contract ever for a pitcher has doubled from $161 million over 7 to $324 over 9. It's extraordinary the money they're handing out.
You want something even crazier. 19 years ago today, the Rangers signed Alex Rodriguez to that 10-year, $252 million
deal.
That's still a huge deal today. 19 years ago,
that's
10 years, $252 million. That's still huge.
And that money was, and money went a lot further 19 years ago, so that's a huge deal.
And he signed two $250 million deals in his career.
Pop for PEDs Rodriguez. Twice as well?
It was a loosey-goosey era, Joe, as we previously discussed.
That guy's doing great. The good news as to why you make this move if you're the Yanks. They're looking around at the state of the AL, and they realize this is the year. If you're going to push your chips, this is the year. Wake up, Oakland A's fans. This is your year, too. Take a look at what's happening. Boston's made it clear. We're shedding payroll. Boston's moving out of the game. Houston is dangling Carlos Correa. Houston saying, you know what? We got to shed some payroll. Minnesota's out there. They're interested in Bumgarner. They're a decent team, but who knows if they can make it when it matters. Cleveland is looking to move on from Francisco Lindor. They're looking to shed payroll. The AL is wide open. If there was ever a year for the A's, this is the year for the A's to make the move. But that's what the Yankees see as well, and that's why they're willing to spend that money. Hey, Stephen Langford, what's up with the Warriors?
I'm ready today. What's up with the Warriors? It's brought to you by Ceremony Ford. You're a San Francisco Ford dealer. The Dubs had a day off and are back to face the New York Knicks tonight. The Knicks have lost 10 straight games. Damian Lee has been taken off the injury report and will return to the lineup, while Eric Paschal is questionable with left hip soreness. Tip time is 7:30 with Warriors Live at 6 right here at 95.7 The Game.
Good stuff. From the Chilton Auto Body text line, which is 95795. This is from the 408. Lowe should go on storage wars with OJ. So when Lowe bids too high, OJ can say, enough, buddy.
That's wrong.
We didn't even get into the big moves made by the San Francisco Giants. Farhan was down there wheeling and dealing yesterday. We'll break that down for you next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. In an effort to keep pace, the Giants were wheeling and dealing too. Not necessarily to this extent, although that's debatable, because while the Giants, or I should say the Yankees, spent all that money to get one guy, the Giants got more than one guy. So take that, New York.
In your face, Yankees.
It's not a one-man sport. This is not tennis, Yankees. I'm trying to sell it as best I can.
Sell it.
It's you sell
once
it.
You come out with Garrett Cole, it's kind of like, man. All right. So
you going with Cozy or the gauze? Which one are we going to sell harder?
You know what? I'll turn it over to you. Which one do you want to do first?
You got to sell it with Cozart because of what he can give you from the standpoint of, wait for it, positional versatility, people. Score
huge
one
for
Farhan. Yeah. He can play third, second, and short. He's on a one-year deal. And Joe, last time he was on a contract year, he had his best year. So Zach Cozart, new Giant. This could be his year.
All right, so details number one, Farhan Zaidi wheeling and dealing with some of the boys down south, the L.A. Angels to be specific. The Giants have acquired Zach Cozart and prospect, prospect Will Wilson from the Angels for a player to be named later or cash considerations. Not both. You're not getting both, Los Angeles. You can have either the player to be named later or cash considerations. Cozart is the big name in the deal, but it's the name you're going to forget about most likely in a shorter time period. Cozart's got 1 year left on his contract, $12.66 million, and then he's going to be a free agent. He's 34 years old. He's from Memphis, Tennessee. He was a second-round pick to Cincinnati back in 2007. He played his college baseball at Ole Miss, just like Eli Manning. He can play third. He can play short. He can play second. Although you have Longoria, Crawford, and Dubon at those three positions at the current moment. An all-star in 2017, as Dibs mentioned earlier, when he hit .297 with 24 home runs. The problem is that he's battling a bad shoulder, in which he had surgery for not too long ago. So he hasn't done a whole lot as of late. The key to this deal is not Cozart. Cozart might not even be with the team when the season starts. The key is that essentially, Zaidi and the Giants paid $12.66 million to purchase Will Wilson, a prospect from the Angels who they used the 15th overall pick on back in the 2019 draft. So this past draft, the guy they just drafted in the first round, number 15 overall, they traded him away in an effort to shed some salary because they wanted to go after Garrett Cole. Oops, that didn't work out too well. So the Giants now end up with a prospect that was drafted in the first round. Now, some say the Angels overpaid a little bit in terms of where they drafted him, but they underpaid him based on the slot value. He was more of a late first, early second round kind of guy. But Zaidi said they were considering him at number 10, which is where they took Hunter Bishop, the outfielder out of Arizona State. So you basically purchased the prospect here.
Yes, and you purchase a guy with above average raw power, according to scouts, and quick hands, deceptive strength, a right-hand hitter, and a middle infielder, a guy who you can project out to be a 15-20 home run guy at Oracle Park in your middle infield. Now, when might this happen? Probably not for 2 to 4 or even 5 years, because last year he was drafted, as you mentioned. He went to rookie ball. I think he had 5 home runs in rookie ball, played pretty well. This year he would be targeted for San Jose. So as you look at this Giants team in this upcoming season, true Giants fans may want to turn their attention south to San Jose as much as they do to San Francisco.
That's a great call. Wilson, for those who don't know him, and I'm guessing that's all of you, 21 years old from North Carolina. Another guy that used to play for the Giants from North Carolina. That one turned out pretty well. He went to NC State, 6 foot, 184 pounds, right-handed arm, right-handed bat. He was the 15th pick in 2019, as we mentioned, to the Angels. And the Giants did like him at 10. They were considering him. Hit 335 with 16 home runs for NC State in his final season there. He was named the ACC Defensive Player of the Year. So he's being brought in more as a defensive mind than an offensive mind. That's what Will Wilson is known for. Rookie ball, as Dibs was talking about earlier, he was with the Orem Owls in the Pioneer League. Got 189 at-bats, hit 275 with 5 home runs. So here we are. $12.66 million in an effort to purchase a prospect. And if you look at the farm system right now, Joey Bart's 22, Helio Ramos is 20, Marco Luciano is 18, Alexander Canario, 19, Hunter Bishop, 21, Will Wilson, 21. So like you're saying, 3 years or so,
right,
you're starting to think the rise of the San Jose Giants?
Yes.
And how does that work, though, Dibs? Okay, so say these 3 years, these four or five guys, we just, you know, Joe's Lou now, Bart, and all these young guys. They're young, so you got control, okay? So you're saying, okay, 3 year rise, and these guys are there. So after they're there, then their clock starts, or do they start right now? Since, and then when will they, when do they unrestricted free agent? After it was 5 years?
It starts when they get major league service time.
Okay.
So once they get into the major leagues, once they make their debut, then their clock begins. And then after a certain number of years, that's when you get into the arbitration years. And after that, you become a free agent. In baseball, it can be a slow, painstaking process.
Right.
Especially when you're a young player who goes to the minors. For example, Will Wilson, he'll be in San Jose this year. If he plays really well, mid-year you might bump him up to Double A. He'll probably finish the year there. Next season, he would start in Double A, maybe Triple A. And again, if he does well and pops, maybe by the end of 2021, you might see this young player in the majors, at which time his clock would then start.
Okay, but if you're Farhan, if you got these guys, you have a plan. So you're saying, look, I'm not, even though fans are going to be like, hey, look, bring them up. Do you control that? Or are you like, nah, forget it?
You're taking your time. Here's what you're doing right now. You're taking your greatest asset, which is money. You got a lot of money between you and the luxury tax threshold, right? So you're taking that money and you're using it to address your number one liability, which is talent. Future talent, not current talent. They realize they're not going to compete for a World Series this year.
Right.
So why try to compete for a World Series this year? Build for the future. So you take some of that money and you go to a team like the Angels and you say, well, you're looking to shed salary cap space. You're looking to shed cash. We'll take that cash for you. We'll do you that favor. We need the prospect in return. So the Angels say, sure, we got to get rid of this cash. Here, take this player. And also, here's the prospect. Boom, you get rewarded for it. So they're out there buying prospects. Get ready for that to happen again. This is what they are looking to do. There are several teams that are looking to dump cash. The Giants are willing to take on that cash in exchange for prospects that can help the team later. This leads us to one of the most interesting questions of the day. It's actually today's Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet, up on the website now, and if not now, soon at 957thegame.com. Should the Giants acquire David Price from the Red Sox if it means landing outfielder Andrew Benintendi? Your options are yes or no. Rumor on the street is that the Red Sox are trying to dump a ton of salary cap. They're just trying to dump a ton of cash. Price, 3 years, $96 million left, $32 million per year. You bring him on, but if the Red Sox find someone that's willing to take that, they're going to have to attach a nice piece to it. Enter a guy like Andrew Benintendi, a left fielder for the future. He's been up 3 solid seasons with the Red Sox, and then there's that season he came up as a rookie. He's only, I believe, 25 years old right now. Your thoughts on bringing in David Price?
I think it's just the wrong fit at the wrong time. And you mentioned Benintendi, and here's a guy, Lowe, that you would look at his stats and look at his ability, and you'd say he's got to be $20 million a year. He made $717,500 last season because it's just the third year. So his first year of arbitration eligibility is 2020. So he's just now getting into that window where he can start to get those salary increases. For me, though, bringing in David Price, a guy who's well past his prime, going to cost you a ton of money. And for what? You're not going to go from being subpar to in the wild card chase. So for me, it's just spending good money after bad money. Because by the time you're good, Benintendi is going to need to get paid one of these massive deals. So for me, There's no sense in spending the money now for Price when you could get someone like Benintendi down the road when you really need him.
Think about the timing on it, though. Benintendi, when you have to pay him, it's about 3 years from now.
Right.
Price's contract would be gone at that point. Posey would be gone. Belt would be gone. Crawford would be gone. You'd have some ability to spend some cash. It's interesting to think about. We'll put it out to the people, 888-957-9570. Would you take on David Price's cash if it meant Andrew Benintendi, your left fielder of the future? That plus, by the way, Odell Beckham apparently may have been campaigning to land with the San Francisco 49ers. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Dialpad. Odell Beckham, if you're the Niners and you're thinking about the offseason, you kicking those tires? We're back in a flash here on 95.7 The Game. Great clips. Great haircuts start here. Just talked to nice guy Stephen Langford. He's got a great head of hair. The Warriors are a favorite tonight.
What?
That must mean the Knicks are in town. The Warriors 5-point favorite over the New York Knickerbockers.
They were favored two nights ago too by like three. They didn't work out for them.
Old Memphis.
Yeah, Old Memphis. I think they were favored.
Really only a handful of teams where that situation is going to play out that way.
Back to back favorites.
Yeah.
I mean, considering what happened on Monday, how they played so poorly in a spot where they could have gotten a win, I expect them to come out hot tonight and play really hard.
Eric Paschal's MVP odds, rookie MVP.
Rookie of the player year, of the year,
which is what they would call that. 4-1. 4-1.
Wow.
When the season started, Zion was your odds-on favorite.
Right.
He was like -120. It doesn't even look like he'll be back till January at the earliest. Going to be very difficult to win that award. After that, it was Ja Morant and R.J. Barrett. Now, Ja Morant from Memphis is having a solid season. R.J. Barrett and the Knicks are having a terrible season. But Paschal has come from one of those just field bets. He wasn't even involved because it's like there's no way some second rounder from Villanova is going to make any noise in this draft class. And yet he's right there at 4-1, having a nice season. Like that might be the story to grab onto. Can he overtake Ja Morant for rookie of the year? Probably not, because Morant's going to get a lot more pub because Morant was known coming out, whereas Paschal, people still don't know who he is. But it's a nice little story to show that this draft class, they're giving you a glimmer. They're giving you a glimmer, if nothing else.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, here's a guy that's, you know, you talk about 4-1 odds. I mean, 1-4, that's pretty good for a kid that you don't want to even know anything about, like you alluded to. Joe wasn't a top 10, wasn't a lottery pick, dibs. This guy in second round, and now all of a sudden he's making his hay. You brought in a couple free agents. You made this huge trade. We understand when KD leaves, he's more of the MVP. He is definitely the MVP on this team, even though you got Draymond and some of the guys that have been injured, and you brought in some other guys. He's still the MVP of this team. Who would have thought that he would be the MVP over the guys that are on this team right now?
If I asked you before the 49ers season started, are you interested in the team making overtures to trying to acquire wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr., I'm guessing that between us and the billions of listeners out there, there'd probably be a split. Now, I'm not saying 50-50, but I think somewhere in maybe the 60-40, 65-35 range, there'd be people who would want Beckham versus people who don't. I'm curious as to where people are now. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has a story that is entitled Odell Beckham is lost and trying to redeem himself. Apparently, Robinson talked to several people very close to Beckham detailing what he's going through in his life right now and how, you know, he really bought into the whole celebrity thing while he was in New York, and then he got traded, but he landed in Cleveland, and that's pretty much a complete 180 from New York City, and he's not producing at a high level. He's not sure if he fits the offense. He's not sure if he's happy there. He's battling some injuries, and it's all starting to mount, and he's starting to realize this might not be who I want to be. There's a very interesting portion of this story. I'm going to read directly from the paragraph. Quote, two sources close to Beckham also confirmed a Sunday report from Fox Sports' Jay Glazer that the wideout has told players and coaches to, quote, come get me during game day interactions. Specifically, one source told Yahoo Sports that Beckham made the comments to players during at least one game in October. The source declined to specify the opponent, but it's noteworthy that Cleveland's October slate featured games against the Niners, Seahawks, and Patriots. Two of which, Niners and Patriots, were teams that aggressively shot for wideouts at the trade deadline. Niners got Sanders, as we all know, and the Patriots acquired Mohamed Sanu. Now, someone went and dug up some tape at the end of that Monday night game where Garoppolo and Beckham have an interaction on the field after the game, like one of those, hey, man, good game sort of things. And Beckham goes in real close to Garoppolo and says something to him and then starts walking away while looking at him. And Garoppolo kind of looks at him and smiles and nods a little bit, like just acknowledging whatever was said. Now, maybe it was one of those good game sort of things, but that it looked like one of those come get me sort of things. So I ask you this. If somehow, some way, the opportunity presents itself to acquire Odell Beckham this offseason, would you be interested in something like that?
No, I wouldn't.
You didn't even think about it.
It's not even now, for sure. Now, in this offseason, I was more on the say, you know what? Yeah, you
previous
know.
Previous
offseason, I was like, okay, maybe. I wouldn't necessarily. Because I just, my guy, flash guys, man, they have a way of rearing their ugly head. Guys that believe that they're bigger than the game and they're really superstars, they have a way of rearing their ugly head, and for the good and sometimes for the bad. And it's tough. It's tough to put them back in the box, especially in tough times. You look at T.O., Hall of Famer, should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer without a doubt. Things aren't going his way because he wants the ball and the things. But rightfully so, you want that guy wanting the ball. But just think about the way he went about it. Rearing his ugly head, guys couldn't put him back in that box. Jerry Rice wanted a ball, all that stuff, didn't rear his ugly head. He's the GOAT. You look at certain guys, Jerry Rice, he could have complained, did all those stuff. Jerry just worked. LT, look at him. Best running back in the league. 29, 30-some touchdowns. You never see him just like, I need the ball, all those things. Even behind closed doors, maybe. But he would go out to practice, run all the way to the end zone. Not saying that T.O. didn't do those things, but at least they were approachable. Look at Tom Brady. Look at all these guys that we talk about, the superstars. And then look at the ones like the Odell Beckhams. You look at guys like Randy Moss. Look at guys that were in this league that had that kind of diva attitude, but yet could play. But when things weren't well, they you just got to see who they are. And it's tough to bring those guys into a culture and think that you can have a team or a guy that can control that type of individual and not taken away from the talent, because hell of a talented guy. Just don't know if you want to deal with the things that they bring with it.
Yeah, Antonio Brown, still out of work. Bryant's career stopped 2 years shorter than it should have because of that. As you were describing all those players so eloquently, Larry Fitzgerald kept popping in my head because look at the quarterbacks he's had to throw to him. Put aside Kurt Warner and Carson Palmer had a nice little run.
But you're absolutely right.
You got Ryan Lindley. You got Josh Rosen. You got a bunch of bumps. He hasn't said a word.
That guy has had every reason to complain, and everyone in America would go, you know what? That's all right. Larry's right. Someone needs to help him. Like everyone would back him if he became a diva.
And we ran through all the Niner quarterbacks from Jeff Garcia all the way through modern times. And there's some guys in there who weren't that great. But if you put Arizona's list up against that, all of a sudden Blaine Gabbert, who, by the way, played for both, doesn't look so bad.
Right.
Shout out Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah.
We got him into the show 2 days in a row.
Still doing it. Odell Beckham Jr., first 3 years, 35 TDs and 288 catches. The last 3 years, 11 TDs, 161 catches. And part of that is, going to Cleveland where Freddie Kitchens hasn't exactly set the world on fire offensively. But the thing that Lowe says also troubles me about his productivity going down and the complaining going up in equal doses.
He is an absolute pass. And I know it's not great radio if we're all aligned. We're probably supposed to create different viewpoints, but there is an absolute pass on this. You don't even pick up the phone to consider what the options would be. Number one, he's already 27 years old now. Like, it's not like he's super young. And I'm not talking from a production standpoint because people will say, well, wide receivers like Larry Fitzgerald are playing late in their 30s. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about your mentality, right? I'm worried about your maturity. At some point, the years start to stack up. If you're immature as an 18-year-old basketball player, you can get a pass. I can absolutely give you a pass. If you're immature as a 22-year-old basketball player who's been around 4 years, I can give you a pass, probably not as much. If you're immature as a 33-year-old basketball player, you've been in the league 14 years, I think there's a problem there. Right? That's not going to change. So Beckham's at 27. Keep that in mind. Number two, he's paid elite money, but he doesn't produce at an elite level. You and I clearly mind melding because I was writing up the same stuff this morning. His last elite season, which would justify his pay, 5 years, $90 million, came in. That seems like nothing after Garrett Cole. Right. I read that. I'm like, this is a pittance.
It's a bargain.
You know what? I'm changing my opinion. Go get Odell Beckham. He costs nothing. 5 years, $90 million. His last elite season was 2016, 101 receptions for almost 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns. And as Dibs mentioned, Since then, 3 years, he's only played 29 games, 161 for 2,200 yards and 11 TDs. So he's battling injuries as well. And then, oh, by the way, I don't think you're at a need anymore. Debo's developing. If you want to sign a receiver, just bring back Emmanuel Sanders at a much cheaper price point. Now, more on this throughout the course of the show, and we'll take your calls on it as well if you want to jump in, 888-957-9570. But some accolades have been handed out in the direction of one Jimmy Garoppolo. We got that for you next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. The accolades keep coming. Fred Warner, Defensive Player of the Month. Our boy Mitch Wishnowsky was named Special Teamer of, I think, the month at one point as well.
I don't know about that.
But, the week, for sure.
The week. I know for the week. Something. Week. Not much.
Spoken like a guy who probably didn't win a lot of those.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Joe.
You were on the All-Decades team, which I still maintain is... I mean, there's All-Decades. The only thing bigger than that was the 75th anniversary team, I think. And now they're doing this All-100.
Yeah.
Which OJ made it to.
And that's why sometimes these lists, they frustrate me, because a list like that, that the aforementioned Orenthal James made, they should have a fullback or some fullback representation, but they didn't. And the All-Decade team was supposed to be the way for guys like you to get into the Hall of Fame. They were looking this year in the special 100th year anniversary to harvest some of those players to include them. But it doesn't look like you're going to be one of them. That frustrates me as well, Lowe.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm happy for Jimmy G. I mean, when you think about what this guy's been through, kind of his course, everyone anointed him as a choice. I don't know if everyone, but a lot of people wanted to anoint him as a chosen one because he comes from Tom Brady and all the things that he'd been through, said his pedigree and all the different things surrounding it. And all of a sudden, he has a setback. And now it's all of a sudden, hey, is Mullins going to be the starter? Can this guy, is he skittish? We talked about different guys coming off a knee injury, how well they played the following year, especially with ACL. It's tough. I mean, trust me, I see a son battling from it, and it's freaking tough to bounce back from that. And
how's he doing?
You know, just rehab and come back again for, you know, his fifth year and all that good stuff. So just trying to get well. But here's a guy, Jimmy G, goes out there and he struggles a little bit. They say five interceptions. Well, against a pretty good defense, we find out that the Niners got a pretty good defense. Then he plays a preseason game and, you know, it's like, man, this guy looks skittish, still doesn't look as, you know, as confident as he used to. And the season's starting, there's still speculations out there because the running game is so dominant and the defense is so dominant. And we say, man, what's going to happen when Jimmy G has to win the game? Teams are going to say, put nine guys in a box and see if Jimmy G can win a game. And here we go. Teams start to do it. They come and put 8, 9, 10. They put everything in the kitchen sink in the box. And what does he do? The guy goes out there and throws for 349 yards, goes shot for shot with the great one, the greatest ever to all times, Drew Brees. And comes out of that dogfight, comes out of that heavyweight fight with the win. So kudos to him. Congratulations, NFC Player of the Week, and it's rightfully deserved.
One of the more amazing attributes that this team has demonstrated throughout the course of this year is their level of professionalism and what is perceived to be veteran experience in the face of situations that would engulf a younger, less experienced team. What I mean by that, and I always use them as the example of this, the Jacksonville Jaguars from a few years back, they're good enough to get to the AFC Championship game. They have the Patriots on the ropes. They get conservative, which turns out to be a mistake. They lose that game. Patriots go on to the Super Bowl. No shame in that. Lots of teams have lost to the Patriots in the playoffs. So you're coming back. I think they were a 10-win team that season. You're coming off this AFC Championship game. You went toe-to-toe with the best in the business in their building. That's something to build upon. You should be a formidable opponent for everyone the following season. And it all falls apart. All of it falls apart that year. It gets worse this year. The Raiders should run them out of the building in the final game at the Coliseum this weekend. And then that's going to be it. They're going to clean house and they're going to have to start from scratch. You see this in every sport. Every sport. The young team comes up. They taste some success, but they find the pitfalls. They can't see the pitfalls coming. And then they get caught in the look-ahead spot. Or they get caught on the short week. Or they start to slump a little bit. And then they let it build because they don't know how to show the resilience. It would have been easy coming off that Seattle loss on Monday night to have lost again the next week. It would have been easier to come off that Baltimore loss and lose the following week. And yet these guys, they go about their business in almost Belichickian fashion. It's almost as if they've been doing this for so long that they understand a loss is a loss, learn from it, move on. A win's a win, that's great, but you got to move on. They're not getting too high or too low with anything. And this comes back to something we always talk about on this program. Teams taking on the personality of their head coach, right? New England is very businesslike. As you work your way around, you find the sloppy, loosey-goosey coaches have sloppy, loosey-goosey teams. The coaches who are inexperienced tend to have teams that make lots of mistakes in very crucial situations. Pete Carroll, very joyous, very aggressive, very... Is there a word? Is it ebullient?
Yeah.
Is that? I think that's the word I was looking for there, believe it or not. E-U-B.
E-B-U-I-L-L.
E-B-U.
Yeah. Ebullient.
Ebullient.
I-L-L-I-E-N-T. Ebullient.
If it even works. Ebullient.
It's a certain amount of effervescence, yes. An outgoing and joyous nature.
Ebullient. Yeah, cheerful and full of energy.
Thank you.
I nailed it. And thank you for knowing that off the top.
Shout out my 900 on the SAT back in 1985. Slept through the math, but that's a story for another day. Literally. Asleep.
During the test?
During the test, yeah. It had been a long night the night before in my 78 two-tone El Camino. My Chevy El Camino, yeah. I had me an El Camino, though. V8
that
305.
L-dog.
I crashed that thing into so many unstable objects.
Sober or not sober?
Always sober.
Okay.
Always, yeah, didn't start getting after it until those 6 years in Northridge, those six junior years. But now we're way down the rabbit hole. Oh, what a run in Northridge. He's an eighth-year junior.
I love you. You're the best.
Falling asleep during the math portion of the SAT.
Anyway,
you can only say it twice. Point being, if you look at what Kyle Shanahan has done for Coach of the Year, is he going to end up being the guy? Some are making the case, and there are some great cases to be made. You and I talked the other day about Mike Tomlin, what he's done with the Steelers this season. He's not going to get it because they're not going to win enough games.
Yeah. If they I'm going to tell you right now, if the Steelers get in the playoffs, you can lock it up and get it.
Agreed.
If they just get in.
I don't know about that.
So you're on your third string freaking quarterback.
I know about that.
Yeah, you know about narratives, too. And the narrative that's out there is third string quarterback. You haven't had James Conner. You don't have Juju. And yet Mike Tomlin's got this Pittsburgh team still in it, Joe.
Juju's missing games. He's been injured. You're right. It's freaking, you look at what they've been able to do. I mean, they were afterthought. They were a freaking thought. And that freaking balance, it's going to be hard. I think, of course, you got to throw Shanahan, rightfully so. It's Shanahan or him, and is there anyone else that you would even
throw
in there?
All right, so I went through and I put together the list. I'm going to start with Freddie Kitchens. What do you think? Okay, so
that was good.
All right, so we've dismissed one.
That was your best material right there.
Sean McDermott in Buffalo. He's definitely got to be a candidate. They're sitting at 9-4. I'm not saying he wins it, but he's got to be a candidate.
Okay, candidate.
He's
the only
one from the AFC East.
Yes.
In the AFC North, you got to go with John Harbaugh.
Yeah.
He has to be there with what he's done with Lamar Jackson.
Although some of the credit would go to Greg Roman for his individual improvement. But again, if you're talking Coach of the Year, John Harbaugh's got to get a lion's share of the credit.
Without question.
He's top three.
And then Mike Tomlin's in there as well. That's three. You already ruled out Freddie Kitchens. That's fine. And we're not going with Cincinnati. AFC South, nothing. I think Vrabel's done a nice job with Tannehan, but it's not going to be enough to overcome anybody.
No.
The Colts are 6-7. The Jags stink. And Bill O'Brien's not getting it.
No.
In the AFC West, you can look at Andy Reid, but they're 9-4.
No.
Reid's been around a long time.
It's a
Raiders,
pass.
Broncos, Chargers, nothing. NFC East.
What track do you want?
Yeah, we'll just leave that there by itself. No reason to really get into any of that. You can make the case that Bill Callahan in Washington has done the best job.
Yeah. Honestly, that's not bad.
That's what's crazy. Yeah.
Not bad.
If you're going to give Coach of the Year out in the NFC East Division, it probably goes to Callahan.
Wow.
Give a little Alan Bernstein there.
NFC North, Zimmer's Vikings are 9-4. They're probably supposed to be 9-4. Yeah. Matt LeFleur is at 10-3, but they've lost the big games, so I don't know if you're going to go too far with that. The Saints, Sean Payton, they're 10-3, but you come to expect this from Breeze and Payton. I think Arians has done a nice job with Tampa. It'll be mentioned, but he won't get serious consideration. And that leaves us with the NFC West. It's not going to go to McVay because his team's down, and it's not going to go to Carroll because even though he's done a really nice job, it's you expect this from Carroll and Russ. So that puts Kyle Shanahan there. There are your four candidates: Tomlin, Harbaugh, Shanahan, and McDermott in Buffalo.
Oh, I wonder if those odds. I think if you had to do the odds, I think, believe it or not, I think it would go.
If you're going to rank them?
Rank them. If I'd rank them.
All right, so favorite to dog. Go ahead. Let's see what we come up with here.
Favorite, Tomlin.
Agreed.
Really?
Agreed, because of what they're doing
in
Pittsburgh.
Look at Riggs and Murtaugh.
I'm telling you, back together again.
Oh, my goodness.
It's been far too long.
But this time, Dibs is Murtaugh.
Yes, yes. Two, I would go with Shanny. Looking at their record last year, only winning four games, and looking at what he's done, yes, they got a good team. I'd go him two. Three, I would go with Harbaugh. And four, I would go with Buffalo.
McDermott. All right, Dibs, how do you see it?
I would probably put McDermott higher than Harbaugh just for the improbability of
Baltimore's
what Buffalo has
done. Baltimore's the best team in the league.
Right. They have the best player in the league, and I think some of that credit will go to Greg Roman because Lamar Jackson is the MVP, and he's an unstoppable force this season. And I think that when you look at credit, I think a lot of the credit will go to Greg Roman and not necessarily John Harbaugh. And I think that Vrabel and Pete Carroll, if they win the West, I think he gets more consideration than you think because they've been without a defense. The defense is gone. They got a rookie wide receiver and a running back who's now gone for the year. If they somehow find a way to win the West, I think he would be in that mix as well.
It always feels like it's going to be an uphill battle for a team in the South to get recognition for anything unless it's above and beyond and it captures the nation. Like Tennessee, you just kind of look at it, it's like, okay, Tennessee's winning some games. No one's really paying attention to that. It just doesn't feel like a national story. Carroll's an excellent point because if you end up winning this division, which is going to go down as the toughest division in the league, that's going to be worthy of a lot of recognition, especially, like you said, with the defense. I got Shanahan winning this thing. If we're going to project it right now, I got him winning this thing. I think he checks a lot of boxes. It's one of, if not the best teams in football. He's young, hot flavor, which is what voters love. Bill Belichick's won this award like two or three times in his career. You're telling me he's the coach of the year two or three times?
No.
No, they like going with the young. Oh, I'm about to sneeze. I got bail.
But
bail out, kid. Last year was Matt Nagy.
Matt Nagy.
The year before that was Sean McVay. And then preceding that was the Carrot, Ron Rivera, Bruce Arians,
the
Rivera
Carrot.
Again, and Arians. Arians and Rivera have won four of the last seven. So all the big boy names. You don't see Tomlin. You don't see Pete Carroll.
Belichick.
Belichick last won it in 2010. That was his third time winning it. So
2010.
Yeah, and they've been trash since 2010, I think.
Right.
I got to stay out. The sneeze is coming back.
Hang in there, kid.
If he could cut down his interceptions, dude's throwing four and five touchdowns a game, but he's throwing four and five interceptions a game. I mean, if you think about what he's been able to do, just that team, they beat the Niners – this year, they're a team right now still vying for a playoff if they beat the Niners in a game that they was in the ballots to the fourth quarter, a couple minutes left. So I think Bruce Arians, like you guys saying, a couple of these coaches, they went out, Bruce will get more considerations, but definitely, like you're talking about Pete Carroll, if they went out as well, he gets it. But I just think all these teams can win out, except, of course, let's just say Seattle wins out. I still don't think that they would get it over Tomlin if Tomlin wins out and get the playoffs.
It's interesting because just looking at the list of coaches of the year, the only one to not win 10 games was Bruce Arians, and that's because he only coached 12 games that season that he won it. So you got to be at least a 10-win team.
Right. Chuck Pagano diagnosed with, was it Hodgkin's or leukemia?
Yes.
And he stepped in, and they had a great run. They went to the playoffs.
Yeah, he led them to a 9-3 mark after he took over. But every other year, it's been 12, 11, 13, 15 wins. So even if they get to 10-6, that may not be enough for Tomlin. They may have to run that table.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning. Welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Outstanding to have you with us today. Drew Bledsoe coming up in 1 hour at 8 o'clock. Steve Mariucci at 8:30. John Morosi live from the winter meetings in San Diego at 9:30. And your next chance to win a trip to Las Vegas to see The Who. That's coming up at 7:30 every day this week. I think I still go with Shanahan. And I was about to sneeze earlier when I was halfway through the analysis, but voters love what's new. Voters love what's trendy, what's hot, what's easy to gravitate to. Mike Tomlin is not going to be that, and he's not going to have enough wins. And that does not mean he did not do a great job or that he's not the coach of the year, but he's not going to get the votes. Go back how many years? In the last decade plus, the Heisman Trophy has had several years where a winner has come back the following season with a chance to win it again. Tim Tebow was one of those guys. I wish I had the rest of them in front of me, but there are at least three, I want to say, over the last 10 to 15 years where a guy has won it and then come back the next year. And he's had a really good season. Tebow had an excellent follow-up season, but it's one of those like, yeah, we've heard enough about you. We're kind of on to the next guy. That's how it is with so much of this stuff. Belichick winning three times in his career, and his last win was what, 2010?
2010.
He's been to three straight Super Bowls. How many Super Bowls has he won this decade? Like, to not even win a Coach of the Year award this decade shows you everything you need to know about how the voters think. They want to go new. They want to go trendy. Kyle Shanahan checks all those boxes. He's done an unbelievable job with a team many people did not think would be above 500. They win a ton of games. They've played in a bunch of big games. They don't have any real dings on the resume. The losses were game-winning losses on field goals to elite teams. Like, if we were doing the college football playoff vote, and we had to take four NFL teams for the college football playoff. Like, if college football's playoff rankings were how the NFL postseason worked, you don't even question San Francisco. They're in. They're one of those teams. You'll figure out where you slot them, but they're in. Strength of schedule, they might not have beaten the best of the best, even though they got the Saints and Packer wins on there, but their losses are great losses.
Right.
Great losses.
That's interesting, because you'd have to go Baltimore 1 just because of the head-to-head matchup, Niners 2, and then the 3-4 matchup. So those would be some pretty interesting semifinal games.
But check this out. If you look at the Steelers, and you talk about their loss, they had one motorboating loss, and that's with Ben. That was with Ben Roethlisberger at the helm.
Boated with Ben.
Besides that, with this team, with backup quarterbacks, you've been in every single game. You got motorboated. Remember the first game?
They lost by 30 to the Patriots.
Yeah. That'll happen.
With Big Ben.
In Foxborough.
But after that, he goes down, and they've been competitive in every game. Should have beat Seattle. We talked about they had Seattle freaking on the rope. So I think Kyle Shanahan, if he gets it, I think it's the right choice.
Agreed. He's well-deserved.
Yeah.
Mike Tomlin, though, has never won the award in his long run with Pittsburgh, the AP Coach of the Year award.
See, right there. And that tells you everything you need to know as well. You're telling me he didn't have one. He's won a Super Bowl. There hasn't been one season where Mike Tomlin's done a job that you would consider Coach of the Year. When do the votes have to be turned in? Because I'd imagine you might be turning him in sometime after the playoffs, and you might look at him going to New England. And so many people, myself included, I'm very guilty of this, looking at him and saying he can't get by New England. He's never going to happen. All right. A lot of guys don't get by New England. The Eagles did a couple years ago. Everyone remembers in the Super Bowl had no problem getting by New England. Right. That's a rare story. It's a championship team.
Joe, please leave the extra off. Okay, so how much is going to be with Shanahan when they say God the defense? Okay, make it for every
still
team.
His team.
You're right. Okay, how much is it going to be? What are they going to say with Baltimore? Give me a negative if they say Lamar.
What's the drawback for John Harbaugh or for the team?
For the team, like everybody. Like right now, I made it things like, oh, well, let's just talk about Shanahan. Well, he's got this unbelievable defense, but it's still his team. So now make that same connate for Baltimore. Lamar Jackson's a successful athlete.
All right, so this is the Coach of the Year debate,
yes.
And we're looking for the negatives to each coach.
Yes, because I did that for the Niners. I'm like, oh, well, they had this great defense early in the season. They didn't need a Cal. So that's going to be maybe a negative. So I'm going through these coaches that we're talking about, four coaches. What's the drawback for all of them?
I think McDermott's drawback is that what's the biggest win Buffalo has had this season? That's the thing. Yeah. You lost to New England when they came down and beat you. You went to Cleveland and you lost that game.
Lost to Baltimore.
Lost to Baltimore. I mean, they've played close. Right. They're competitive. He's done a remarkable job with that team. He has done a very good job. Young quarterback that he's developing. But the big games, you don't really have a signature win.
That's true.
I think that hurts Buffalo, and I think Buffalo is a small market team that doesn't get a lot of love. You don't see him on primetime a lot. That it's not relatable to a lot of people. So as a result, he's just kind of left in the aftermath. Harbaugh's been around a long time. This is the Belichick issue. You've been around a long time. We've seen you win the Super Bowl.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.